Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the blog went up over there this morning, so get on over there, check it out. Of course, while you're there, hit the link. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate it. But we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
Oh, all right, Dan. I guess the way to look at it is the RRR, I guess, the Astros or the Dodgers going to win a game?
I can't even speak,
I couldn't either. You were on the Astro bandwagon all along. You were one of the few guys who actually thought they could do something, and they did. And obviously, the Dodgers were the prohibitive coming into this whole shebang. What the hell's going on? Are we in some kind of strange world?
We're definitely in some strange world where you have the Rays and that other team. Why am I losing it?
Yeah, so...
The Rays...
Yeah.
I don't know, I just... Yeah, we had a full season. I don't think, we would be in this position right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, the Astros were under 500. If it was a full season, they were under 500. They wouldn't have got in without the expanded playoffs.
Yeah.
So, they've proved themselves. It'll be interesting tonight, for the Dodgers. Well, I guess I shouldn't say tonight. That game's getting ready to start here in about 30 minutes. They're going to need a big start out of Julio Urias. I thought Tony Gosselin did all right there for about four innings, and then he ran into trouble. And I wonder if not pitching for 17 days kind of affected him there. And I heard him talking on the broadcast about, he's throwing side sessions and he's throwing bullpens. And, you can throw all of those you want. It's not the same when it comes down to game time. Do you think maybe that had a little bit of effect on him? Because I thought he was doing pretty well, until that point.
Yeah, I mean, I should be ready to go. I threw a couple baseballs. Actually, wiffle balls back into my neighbor's yard.
So yeah,
that's
not
the same.
He got up to 88. Yeah. He got up to 88 pitches, and I almost think he just kind of maybe just ran out of gas. So I don't know how else to look at it. Ian Anderson was really good again. The problem with him, he's walking a bunch of guys, so his pitch total went through the roof and he was only able to stick around for four innings, but he only gave up one hit, didn't give up any runs. He did walk five, but he struck out five. So, the jitters may have finally gotten to him for the first time. And, also for the first time, the Dodgers got to the Braves bullpen and, they were kind of rolling there. They touched up Darren O'Day for a couple runs and then they got to Josh Tomlin for three. And, all of a sudden it was a game. and it was like, oh, wait, what's going on here? And then they just couldn't, you know, they couldn't get that final run home off Melanson. I know they got an unearned run off him to make it 8-7, but they couldn't get that last run home. And, you know, now they're down 2-0, and they're looking at Urias going, good Lord, please pitch a fantastic game so we can win a game. So I I've heard everybody saying the Dodgers are going to win tonight. Are you in on that? You buy in that?
I would like to buy it. I don't know if that's the case. I mean, are going to win is not something that should be said. The Dodgers need to win. And I know this has been kind of thrown out there, must-win games. But, again, this is something we talked about. And I know, I'm sure the data is out there. You know, just ask Billy Beane and the Redbird Company.
Yes.
They probably have all that data. And, mind you, one of the four members, along with Billy Beane, was, oddly, I was going to make the joke yesterday, was the guy who started the analytics division for the Browns. Let me see how well that worked out. But I truly believe that it's a must win for the Dodgers. It's not are they going to win? They have to win tonight. Otherwise, I don't think they'll be able to come back from a 3-0 deficit. You know, like I was saying, I'm sure it's happened, but, you know, in my mind, I can't remember it happening in the CS or the World Series anytime in the last, decade at least.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think the last time to do it was when the Red Sox did it to the Yankees quite a few years ago. So it's been a long time, but the lineups are out, and I'm a little surprised the Braves actually made some changes. Ronald Acuna still leading off. Freddie Freeman bats second. Marcelo Zuna's third. Travis Denault's still the cleanup guy. Ozzie Albies is fifth. Dansby Swanson is sixth. Austin Riley's hitting seventh, but he's in left field tonight. Johan Camargo is actually in the Braves lineup. He's hitting eighth and playing third base. Remember, he just replaced Adam Duvall on their roster. And then Christian Paichi, depending on who you listen to pronounce it, he'll hit ninth and play center field. Kyle Wright is getting the start for the Braves tonight. So are you a little surprised that they're going to Camargo, who hit 200 during the season and actually got sent to the alternative training site at some point? And, I guess they just don't want Markakis in against the left-hander, or they've got another reason. But are you surprised they're going like this?
Highly surprised. He wouldn't even be on my radar as an option, to be honest with you.
I guess my question is, Dan, is why couldn't they plug Ozuna into left field, leave Riley at third base, and let the Panda be the DH? He's on their roster for the CS here. Get the Panda in the lineup. I think he still switch hitting, so you wouldn't have to worry too much about matchups, but Camargo is their guy, so I guess they're just sticking with their guy.
Yeah.
And then the Dodgers here, this is what they look like tonight. They have Mookie Betts leading off. Corey Seager moves up to the 2-hole. Justin Turner's 3. Max Muncy is 4. Will Smith is 5. Cody Bellinger is 6th. We got Jock Peterson 7th. Rios is hitting 8th. He's playing third base, and for the life of me, I can't remember his first name. Sorry about that. And then Chris Taylor hits 9th. So, a little bit of shuffling for the Dodgers as well. But I guess at this point they need to kind of try something to get it shaken loose, right? So might as well give it a shot.
Might as well.
So, But yeah, and then of course, you know, we mentioned, you know, Urias is pitching for the Dodgers tonight. Oh, God bless you. Are you buying a Dodger win? Like I've heard a lot of guys, or are you still look kind of on the fence there?
I'm still on the fence. It would be amazing to see them win, but somehow their bats have just been silenced.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing they, you know, they've always said when it comes playoff time is good pitching beats good hitting. And the Braves have really gotten some good pitching. So, you know, so far that's been the case. And, you know, the Dodgers need to find a way to hit. You know, we'll see if, you know, maybe tonight's the night. And, you know, if not, it's Clayton Kershaw coming back in what would be a serious must-win, you know, win or go home if they don't pull it off tonight.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, we got the other game. Interestingly, as much as I heard people say the Dodgers are going to win, I basically heard those same people say that Tampa Bay is beating Houston tonight. And they really think Tampa Bay has a huge edge in the pitching matchup. They're sending Tyler Glass now to the mound while the Astros are countering with Zach Greinke. You know, Dan, I don't know about you, but I'm not counting Greinke out of anything. You know, he's kind of a, you know, sneaky veteran type guy, and you know, while he's not throwing 95 plus, he still knows how to get major league hits out. Are you as locked in on Tampa as kind of everybody else was today? You think, you know, Greinke could kind of help the Astros out here?
Well, that's, of course, it happens right this minute. You know, that's the biggest factor. And, you know, when I first looked at the matchups tonight, you know, I saw Tyler Glass now, his postseason record so far. And, you know, I feel like this kid's taken over the David Price role that was there, you know, many moons ago, and there was a couple others. You know, in that spot. So you wonder how long he's going to last with the Rays. But, you know, I saw that and I was like, oh, this is in the bag. And then I went over to the Astros side and I was like, oh, I can't count Greinke out, though. So, you know, I mean, if he has another performance like he did the other night, it's the Rays game. I don't know. I don't think that they're going to be completely shut out, but – you know, the downside for Greinke right now is nobody was hitting for him the other night. So are they going to be able to hit for him tonight?
Oh, well, you know, we'll see. And here's the lineup that we're running out. You know, George Springer leads off. Michael Brantley hits second. Jose Altuve is third. Alex Bregman is fourth. We got Carlos Correa fifth. Kyle Tucker is sixth. Yuri Gurriel is seventh. Your guy, Josh Reddick, is hitting eighth tonight. He's the DH. And then Martin Maldonado is hitting ninth. So that's what they're shipping out there. You know, the Rays are going with Manuel Margot in the leadoff spot. Austin Meadows hits second. Randy Araraña, I believe it's pronounced, is hitting third. G-Man Choi hits fourth. Mike Broussard hits fifth. Joey Wendell sixth. Willie Adames is seventh. Then Yoshi the Japanese guy they signed in the offseason is eighth. And Mike Zunino hits ninth. So, you know, basically the same lineup, except they have what we're going to go with. Setsugo is how we're going to go with that one. He's going to get some at-bats tonight against Greinke. Yeah, you know, I mean, it looks like it should be a pretty decent matchup, and I guess it's just as long as Altuve can throw the ball to first base and the Astros don't make a bunch of errors, they can stay in the game?
Pretty much. You know, first of all, I got to say, Big Jack, you are usually on point with the Japanese names. So for you to not get it, kind of a little bit of surprise right there. Had to throw that out.
Yeah, it threw me off. You know, it's T-S-U-T, and I wasn't quite sure. I guess it would be the way it would be Satsugo, you know. But that threw me off a little bit there. So, you know, it's not Ichiro Suzuki, so it was a little tougher to say. Yeah, you know, and again, you know, the big thing, you know, is I kind of took a small shot there at Altuve, but, you know, I'm going to take shots at all the Astros because, let's face it, they're cheaters. You know, are you surprised that all of a sudden he kind of has this, you know, I mean, no other way to put it, it's a mental lapse, and he's got this block about kind of throwing the ball to first base. You know, he always seemed like kind of a mentally tough player, especially when he knew what pitch was coming. Are you kind of surprised? I mean, we're looking at a former MVP, and, you know, I believe he might even be a Gold Glove winner. So all of a sudden now he can't play defense?
Yeah, it's a huge, you know, kind of, I don't want to say red flag, but kind of a red flag. And you've, you know, I don't think they could do a whole lot of cheating on the defensive side, but I mean,
no.
You know, did it finally catch up to them?
Well, you know, what do they say? Karma's a bitch, right? So you wonder if there's
yeah.
a little bit of karma, you know, kind of involved in this. And then, you know, obviously, you know, the one negative for the Rays is it looks like they'll be without Kevin Kiermaier, who got hit last night, and he's listed as day to day. But he's not in the starting lineup tonight, and I don't honestly expect him to play at all. I am a little more surprised that Brandon Lau isn't in the starting lineup, but, you know, it's the Rays, and this is how they've always done things, even in the playoffs. But I think Lau is probably the best player on their team, so to not have him in your lineup, you know, again, it's an analytical decision, and I'm not going to agree with it because, you know, if you were to lose, you're losing without your best player on the field. And to me, that just seems kind of stupid. But, again, I guess that's just me in this world of baseball. You know, but
yeah.
Wouldn't you want that guy out there?
Yes, I would.
You know, unless he's hurt. I mean, there's no report on him being injured, but – you know, if there was, you know, something wrong there, then I could understand it. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, I'd rather have him, you know, hell, if you think he's going to struggle, hit him towards the bottom of the order. But you need that guy out there. So, you know, we'll see. And, again, you know, with the Rays, you never know. He could pinch hit in the second inning and end up in the game. That's just the way, you know, things kind of go. You know, just kind of, you know, again, analytically speaking, that's how teams flip-flop. And, you know, the Dodgers could do that as well with their guys. Their lineup could be different come the second or third inning. It drives me nuts, but that's, you know, that's baseball today. That's what we deal with. So, you know, on the other end of this, Dan, you know, I know you picked the Astros, so I know you're hoping they stick around, but they win in tonight? Are we going to get game five, or are they going back? Well, I think they're playing. Are they playing in Texas? So they wouldn't have far to go. But are they going home?
I think they're going home. No, they're in San Diego.
Oh, that's right. They're the American League team, so they're playing in San Diego. So, yeah, so you think so either way, both teams will be going to Texas, but Houston may be going to not play, right?
Yeah, I kind of think I think tonight's up in the air, but after that, I don't know. I don't think they're going far.
Yeah, I find it hard to see them winning four straight. You know, again, it wouldn't surprise me if they won tonight. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Greinke went out there and, you know, actually held the Rays scoreless for like five or six innings and then turned it over to the bullpen and just kind of left it up to them. But yeah, you know, that wouldn't shock me at all. Of course, I also wouldn't be shocked if he only lasted three or four innings and gave up five or six runs. So, you know, it's just been that kind of postseason for him. And I know, you know, he was dealing with some arm trouble last series, And I haven't heard anything so far, but you wonder if, you know, it's possible that's still hanging around and, you know, he might have an issue there. So, you know, and then, you know, I'm wondering if maybe you could help me out with this one, Dan, because I don't know if I wasn't paying attention and this story kind of leaked out, or if maybe it just popped up today and I just thought it was kind of stupid, but apparently there were a few media guys suggesting that the Yankees needed to make a managerial change. And I was just really, I guess, more surprised than anything. I mean, you know, Boone has taken them to the playoffs the last 2 years, and I know they, while they haven't won anything, when you look at what he's done compared to the injuries they've had, I thought he's done a really good job. And if they could give him a healthy roster and, you know, maybe fix the starting rotation a little bit, you know, they would be a contender again, just like they were this year. Did you know or hear or read or see or whatever, anything about them making a change? Because, like I said, I was really surprised when I heard it today.
Yeah, no, the only thing I saw was them coming out and saying that they're not going to go against him or, you know, go away from him. So I'm not, you know, was that in response to, you know, outsiders trying to tell them how to run their show?
Yeah, you know, again, I was wondering if maybe it was just a media guy looking for a story, and he just kind of thought, oh, okay, you know, this is, you know, this could be something to kind of, you know, kind of throw out there. But, yeah, I was just kind of, you know, because like I said, I never thought or heard or even, you know, considered them making a change. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is kind of, you know, kind of new to me, because, you know, you can't blame them for the injuries. You know, I mean, it's not his fault these guys keep getting hurt. But yeah, it was just like, yeah, well, you know, maybe they would, you know, maybe they'll go, you know, another way, or possibly, you know, move him out. And I was like, why? He's had two really successful years there. You know, and I get that, you know, he's not the biggest name, but he's winning. And isn't that what's supposed to matter?
No, it's supposed to be the, what do you call it? The popular name. I was trying to come up with an example. It's supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to have a Joe Madden in there.
Yeah. And that was, you know, the thing. And I was just kind of like, okay, well, you know, and that's, you know, and that's, I'm kind of on board there with, you know, just like the White Sox, who are making a change. You know, if the Yankees were to make a change, could they really get an upgrade? I mean, is there a, you know, there's not really a Joe Madden-esque manager on the market. And I mean, let's be fair, Madden wasn't even on the market when the Cubs hired him. They tampered with him, you know, and got him to use the out in his contract and then hired him. And you're not going to convince me that they didn't tamper with him. We all know they did. They just got away with it. You know, but that's, you know, again, that's how the game goes. You know, but, you know, Dan, is there a big name out there that you see? I mean, like, I saw the Sox got permission to talk to Tony La Russa, but I don't really consider him a big name anymore. And you've got to wonder how he would handle kind of the way the game is played now. Is there another big name out there that's not managing, Dan, that you could think of that anybody could go get?
Not off the top of my head.
You know, I mean, are you buying, you know, Ned Yost? Or, you know, I heard somebody mention Bruce Bochy, but he just retired, and I don't know if he would like to come back. You know, I know Ron Washington is still on somebody's staff. He had a lot of success in Texas.
Isn't Ron with like a third base or some kind of coach for the Braves right now, isn't it?
I wasn't sure which team he ended up with, but yeah, I know he's some kind of coach as well as the infielder instructor with whatever team he's with. And I guess I could probably use Dan's favorite search engine here and look it up and find out where he actually is. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I know he's had his issues here and there, but, you know, I'm sure he would probably like a shot. Yeah, he's the current third base coach for the Atlanta Braves. So there you go.
Yeah, they were talking about him the other day. So.
Yeah, you know, but again, I mean, is that a, you know, and I mean, while he had success as a manager, I don't really know if I would consider him a big name, would you?
No, and if you think about it, he hasn't, you know, he's kept him, and I would think he likes the role that he's in now. I could be wrong, of course, but he's been pretty quiet, you know, since Texas.
Yeah, you know, and again, we know Ozzie Guillen is looking for a managerial job, but, you know, again, I mean, here's a guy who's been out of the game since, what's it been, 08 or 09? So you got to wonder where he would be in today's game. So, yeah, and again, I mean, you know, Ozzie's got a World Series title, but is he a big name?
Well, the White Sox aren't going back to him, that's for sure.
Right. They've made that abundantly clear. So, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, well, if the Sox don't want him, you know, would anybody else be interested? You know, and you know, like a lot of these guys, you know, while they're names, I mean, they haven't even been mentioned as getting interviews. So,
yeah, it's just timing, right? You're in the right place at the right time. You've got the right friend.
Yeah, you know, if you happen to know the right people or just how, things kind of work out your way. But, yeah, I can't seem to think of who is this guy that is going to, you know, blow somebody away when you hire him, especially if you're going to replace a manager like Boone, who is coming off two winning seasons and two playoff appearances.
Well, you see, that's what I think is part of the problem is, you know, it's like you always say with the NFL, you know, the backup quarterback is, you know, the savior, is the best thing to happen to the team until he actually plays, right?
Yeah. Again, it's just one of those things where it's like I guess it's New York, so maybe they do things like this, but it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And, you know, here we go, you know, let's see what goes on.
Well, and, you know, isn't that just part of, like, our world today where, you know, and to me it's unfortunate because it's almost like you're saying it's been 2 or 3 years. He hasn't won. Let's get rid of him. You know, the same thing with the White Sox. I, part of it is you feel bad for Renteria, But at the same time, he's been the one that's building this team up. You know, it'll be interesting to see. I don't think Giolito is going to diminish, but without Don Cooper, kind of this magical guy, is, you know, are they going to end up being the losers in the Quintana? Well, no, they won't be in the Quintana trade loser. But, you know, will Dylan Cease continue to improve, you know, to be a guy who when, you know, Giolito's contract's up, which I'm sure isn't that far off, can take that spot, you know. And so, I mean, I don't know if it was just, you know, differences, you know, what happened inside that organization that of all guys they wanted to go away from Don Cooper. And maybe the Cubs will pick
him up. You do wonder if maybe the White Sox jumped the gun a little bit because they had success this year. You know, because like I'm, you know, like there's no way I'm guaranteeing that they're a playoff team next year. I mean, you know, Minnesota is still going to be good, and Cleveland still has a fantastic pitching staff. So, you know, it's no, you know, gimme that the White Sox are going to walk into the playoffs. And remember, they technically got in as a wild card team. You know, they finished seventh out of eight playoff teams. If it would have been a regular year, they wouldn't have gotten in. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And no matter who they hire, they've still got players to develop. I mean, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Roberts, you know, these guys need work. Nick Mandragon needs to, you know, prove he can stay healthy. So, you know, there's issues there. You mentioned Dylan Cease. You know, you've got to have somebody to keep Giolito on track. You know, what the hell are you going to do with Ronaldo Lopez? I honestly think he could be a closer if you can kind of get him to throw strikes with the stuff he has. You know, can Carlos Rodon stay healthy? You know, can you figure out a way to work that out? So, you know, there's a lot of questions and a lot of, like, just guys that aren't ready to take that next step. And I think they got a little ahead of themselves because they had some success.
Well, you know, and is that part of the reason? I'm not going to say that this is the reason, you know, the White Sox did it, so the Yankees need to do it. But do you think that sparked some of that interest in the media that they think the Yankees should move away from Aaron Boone? I mean, like I said, I don't know if anything changed, but I did see, I got the update that they're not going away from Aaron Boone. So
yeah, no, they,
I don't know
the rush Steinbrenner said, we're not going anywhere.
But
I guess my point was
it's not so much that the White Sox did it, but you know, a team that had potential was knocked out and they got rid of their manager. And then this team, you know, is that what it is? It's just a giant disappointment and they should be in this spot right now, but they're not.
Yeah, I, you know, I do wonder, you know, if maybe it was just the fact that the White Sox made a move and the Yankees are like, oh, well, they were a playoff team, or the reporter was like, oh, well, they were a playoff team. You know, maybe the Yankees should make a move as well. But, you know, there was no, you know, like I heard, you know, Steve Stone actually sent out a tweet basically saying the reason the White Sox got rid of Renteria was because they didn't feel he was a good enough playoff manager. And I'm like, well, how the hell do they know that? He's only got three playoff games under his belt, right? Because I don't think the Cubs got to the playoffs when he was there, did they?
Mm-mm.
So
no, he didn't. They didn't make it when he was there. He, you know, was kicked out before that. You remember? It was Quad A who got them kind of close, right? And then, you know, that obviously fizzled out because he was just interim. And then, you know, Ricky came in.
Yeah, and they blew
then
everything
Taria
up.
Came in. Yeah, they blew everything up. And then all of a sudden, like you said, they had secret conversations with Joe Madden. You know, maybe he cruised up to wherever the hell they were staying, you know, in his Winnebago and, you know, a clandestine interview, so to speak. I watch too much Nazi conspiracy stuff.
Yeah.
So, clandestine. I've been waiting to use that word.
Too much.
Yeah, I've been waiting to use that word for a while now, Big Jack, so thank you. But, you know, he came in, and in 2015, they, you know, surprisingly made that playoff run. And, you know, so Ricky missed out on that. And then, like you said, he had three games. And let's be honest. If it were not this year, if this season played out,
oh, where'd you go, Dan? Did you mute yourself?
Oh yeah, I must have on accident. I think they could have gotten in at least 100 games, and I really believe in a 100 game season, the White Sox wouldn't have even made the playoffs because they would have stuck with the.
Yeah.
The old, you know, the other playoff format. Wow, it is windy outside.
Yeah, I honestly think if the White Sox don't make the playoffs, Michael Lewis still has his job.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they make the switch because they're still developing. But if they, you know, they move the playoffs, I think their eyes got, you know, their eyes were bigger than their stomach, as people like to say. You know, so now they're going to make this switch, and I just, you know, they're not ready for it. I don't care what they think or what it is. It's not this move. I mean, they're not going to be a World Series contender next year. They're, you know, unless they sign Trevor Bauer, which I don't see happening. It's going to happen.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, as a Cubs fan, I should be just, I don't want to say rejoicing because we were knocked out of playoffs too, but I should be sitting back laughing my ass off going, man, you know, they're really screwing, you know, this is great. They're just going to mess, but I'm not. That's the thing. It kind of killed me. I just think it was premature. You know, I don't doubt that the crew that they have together can be a playoff potential team. But, you know, the opposite side of what the Cubs did, which they didn't do, is they don't have a bunch of guys that are all going to be, you know, free agents and coming up on contracts all at the same time. But,
yeah.
You know, but here's the problem, you know, and here's the flip side. There's good and bad. You know, you're going to cyclically lose guys, you know. The way Tim Anderson's playing, I don't think he's going to be a White Sox much longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I haven't really looked at his contract, but he'll be gone.
The ability to size, so it's just, you know, will they will be the question.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like you said, will they give the money? And like Tim Anderson, you know, if he keeps improving, you know, he might be able to pick up some money and play somewhere else. Even if it's not, you know, a huge deal, I think someone would offer him more than the White Sox would. But you don't know, is the culture changing? You know, hopefully.
Yeah, well, you know, that could be their biggest problem, you know, for the White Sox is, you know, will they get outbid by people? So, you know, and that's what, you know, we got to kind of, you know, wait and see how it goes, or just kind of, you know, which way, you know, things work for them. But yeah, I'm really buying them jumping the gun here that they got a little carried away, I think, and just
yeah,
excited with with their deal. But Anderson is actually signed through 2022, and he has two option years on his deal. So he can be here through 2024 if they want to keep him. Yeah, the only two actual the White Sox have, unless they don't pick up some contract options, Gerard Dyson and Ross Detweiler are officially free agents. And so is Alec Colome and James McCann. So those are the two really big decisions they'll have to make because, you know, Colome was really good for them. You know, and then McCann is kind of Giolito's personal catcher. They do have options on Edwin Encarnacion, Steve Cishek, Gio Gonzalez, and Lurie Garcia. So they do have some decisions to make there. Giolito doesn't hit free agency until 2024. So he'll be here for quite a while as long as they want to hang on to him.
I would decline the option. No, sorry, Gio. But the 22 winners are over.
Yeah, you know, like I don't see Encarnacion or Gonzalez being back. Garcia's option is $3.5 million, so I'm sure they'll pick that up. You know, Cishek is $6.75 million, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's back. You know, they may need to bring him back if they can't figure out a way to re-sign Colome, you know, because, again, like I said, he was surprisingly really good for them. So, they have kind of much smaller decisions than, like, the Cubs or some other teams have. So, we'll have to see what their what their moves are. You know, you got to remember they have guys like Moncada, Robertson, Jimenez locked up basically till 2025. So they've got their young core wrapped up.
Oh, your man. Sorry, I thought I muted myself. But yeah, I mean, that's the positive, but I think, you know, it was 1 year premature, especially if they have those guys until 25, 26. You know, I mean, you can't be expected to, I don't know what they're thinking. You know, 2021, you're going to go from luckily making it in the wild card to being potential, you know, championship contenders. I don't think it's going to happen that quickly. But, you know, I understand Rickon's part. If they want to win, you know, I think that it's a nice window up until 25 to really get one in for them. And then rub it in all our faces.
You know, kind of compared to the Yankees, you know, they have Masahiro Tanaka, James Paxton, and then DJ LeMahieu, who are free agents. You know, I think they're probably going to need to find a way to bring all three of those guys back. J.A. Hop had a vesting option. I don't know if he made it. I'm guessing not because of the shortened season. So he's probably gone. But then they have a $10 million option on Brett Gardner. And, I mean, unfortunately, I think it's probably just time to let Gardner go. You know, I mean, he's going to be 38. And let's face it, it's time for your guy Clint Frazier to play every day. You know, you just can't continue to hold this guy back. And, you know, he needs to be out there. So it may be time just to let Gardner walk away. I get that he's the last link to, you know, some of those great Yankee teams. But eventually all those guys have to go away. And, it's time. You know, it's time to let him go. So we'll see what they do. But, you know, they're oddly in a similar situation like the Cubs. You know, you have two free agent starting pitchers. So if you're not bringing them back, how are you filling that void? You know, there's not a ton of starting pitching out there. So, you really need to work on kind of bringing your guys back to – you know, to your team. So, you know, and obviously the Yankees have the money to do this. But you wonder if maybe they'll pursue a Trevor Bauer, you know, to add him with a Garrett Cole. That could be a really nice 1-2 punch. You know, if you could land Tanaka, you know, you're 1-2-3 pretty well set. You know, and then they're going to get Severino back, and then they're also going to get, Domingo Herman back, you know, because his suspension will be over. So they would be, you know, they'd have a formidable rotation really quickly as long as frickin' Severino can stay healthy. Wow. You know, the Yankees paid Jacoby Ellsbury $21.242 million to not play for them this year?
Yes, I did. I didn't know it was that much, but I knew it was high.
Yet the scary part is they also owe him $5 million next year as a buyout. Good Lord, that's how do you, that's fantastic money for not playing. So, how do I get that deal? Somebody pay me not to do something, please.
Tell me about it.
You know, but I, and I guess you got to wonder, you know, what kind of money is LeMahieu going to command on the free agent market? You know, he'll be 33. He's coming off of two just fantastic years, you know, with the Yankees. You know, he made $12 million in both years. Does he get a salary bump to maybe $20 million for a team? You think somebody would go that high on him with the way he's performed there? And, you know, you think the Yankees would match that?
You know, I feel like the Yankees need to sign him to have around in case there's injuries. But, you know, when you add that price tag, you know, that means he's starting. So, you know, would they go that high? I don't know.
So, you know, it, and again, it's, you know, it makes for an interesting situation for them as well as, you know, the Sox and the Cubs. And I mean, all these other teams, you know, the Phillies are trying to figure out, you know, can they get JT Realmuto back on a decent deal? Or, you know, is there a team that's just going to throw insane money at them? I know, he believes, I think I heard he's talking $30 million a year. That's not going to happen. But it's, you know, I guess it's nice to shoot for that, right?
Exactly.
So, as long as you don't get, you know, ridiculously stupid like, you know, some of these pitchers have, Craig Kimball, Jake Arrieta, Alex Cobb, and decide, you know, you're too good to play for the money you're offered, and then you come back and stink. So, you know, we'll see how those things work out for him. But yeah, it's the off season will be up and running here. You know, well, pretty much for most teams it is, but you know, it'll be up and running, and we'll see how it goes. You know, it would be kind of interesting to see if a team would, like the Phillies would let Realmuto go and then try to grab like a James McCann, you know, because I just can't see him coming back to the White Sox. I think somebody's just going to give him too much money, don't you? So, you know what I mean? He's really the top catcher on the market. I mean, I know technically Yachty's a free agent, but you don't see Yachty or playing for anybody but the Cardinals. But yeah, we'll see how things get up and running here and who's doing what and all that other fun stuff, but you know, and I did see one of the Angel catchers just had hip surgery, so the team they mentioned was McCune. So, his name's going to be very, very popular as things go along.
hip surgery.
Yeah.
Poor kid. Poor guy.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those deals. But, you know, Dan and I were chatting just a little bit before we went on air here that, you know, the NFL shuffling their schedule has really, really crushed me with the bye weeks now that they moved everything around. You know, I ended up with multiple guys off this week that I wasn't supposed to move off. So I'm scuffling to get a lineup. And then, like I said, I was excited to get a run back. Both of my starters were on IR. And, of course, the running back I got back was Le'Veon Bell, who no longer going to be able to help me because if you're not up to date, the Jets cut him yesterday after not being able to trade him. My guess is he won't be out of work long, but you got to wonder how much he'll be able to produce once he gets to a new team with, you know, learning the offense and all that other garbage. So, yeah, it looks like my one fantasy team is just screwed. You know, I'm not going to be able to get out of this hole. There's just no way.
Yeah, I wonder. I believe that's the Snake League. That I'm, you know, at my point where I honestly think, you know, this upcoming week will definitely make or break. I did get a squeak out a win this week from 3-2, but, you know, like I told you the other day, I was 2-2 in 15th place out of 20. So 3-2, I'm probably 14th place if I got lucky. So I think for both of us, that league, you know, is shut down. But, you know, what I'll still do, Big Jack, is I'll ride it out and I'll change my lineup for the rest of the season. It's once a week. Why not, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm still working on it. I mean, I went out, made a bunch of waiver claims today, so we'll see, you know, who or what I can kind of end up landing. But, you know, again, it's a 20-team league, and there's just not much out there. You know, if I can get Christian McCaffrey back, I could probably compete. But, you know, there was some talk he was going to be back this week. It doesn't look like he's going to. So it's, you know, I'm 3-2 in that league as well. The problem is this week almost looks like a guaranteed loss for me because I can barely feel the team. You know, I'm going to be playing guys who are probably going to score 1 or 2 points for me, and that's just not going to do it. So unless I can get some guys to just really explode, it's gonna be ugly for, you know, until I can get McCaffrey back, and then I gotta hope he's up to, you know, playing standards coming back. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, you know, and for me it's kind of a here and there. You know, I thought I was gonna do at least decent. You know, Landon Garoppolo. But, you know, he's had some setbacks. And, you know, he was, first couple of weeks, one of my driving forces. You know, well, I don't think it matters, right? Doesn't matter what team you're on. You need your quarterback to get the points he's supposed to get.
Yeah, or at least close.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this week he had 3 points, you know, so it's definitely going to be an uphill battle for me. with that league, and you know, and I was just making a shot at quitters, even though I'm kind of making a shot at myself for my work league, but that's more on account of the fact that I completely forget about it.
So, and it's ESPN, and I know you don't like that format.
Yeah, so I think I'll try logging in on my work computer to maintain that. But, you know, I don't know. It's just funny though, after this amount of time, for us doing this, that I'm actually getting into the football. You know, before I used to just play it because he twisted my arm. So. but, you know, I mean, I guess it's just, you know, here or there. You know, I just hope that anyone who's not playing didn't give up also, but I know how that works.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of our problems can be, you know, guys join our league. You know, and I was thinking about this when we were talking about it right after we got off the air yesterday. Remember we had, and I don't remember which fantasy expert or whatever he was. Remember he didn't want to get in our league because he thought he had an unfair advantage, but he actually ended up joining and then didn't even make the playoffs? So yeah, it's not easy to play the big leagues like this, and it's just kind of like, you know, okay, well, you know, I'm on the waiver wire, but you know, again, like I said, there's just not a ton of guys there. So, you know, I'm doing what I can to, you know, to land who or what is available, but it's not the easiest thing to do. So, you know, I hope people are, you know, kind of understanding that, you know, while it seems, oh yeah, you know, it's really simple, it's not. So.
No, especially not.
Especially the bigger your league is. So.
I mean, I've got some ideas, so. We'll see after, I don't know when, I'll start thinking about it, maybe for baseball. I don't know about hockey, basketball. We're trying to get our leagues a little bit more interactive. I mean, Yahoo sucks when it comes to connecting with, you know, the other people in the league as a whole. You know, so I'm working on some things, but, you know, it is challenging. And I think part of the reason I want to do some things for our leagues to get them a little bit more interactive is to try to get those guys who are, you know, quitters. You know, maybe they didn't quit. Maybe they're just like me and forgot like a week or two just because life or whatever happened, you know. And then they're like, well, screw it. But, you know, I do try to go in my work league and fill it out. It's just a pain in the ass. You know, you got to tap this, tap that, tap this. And, oh, finally. And then you go back in later and you realize you didn't hit save, so nothing's saved. but you know, I don't know. It's fun, and you know, I'm actually talking to my brother-in-law's brother about getting in his baseball league next year. It's a money one, so I'm taking a step up, Big Jack.
There you go.
I'll let you know how it is. I don't know how these guys are. You know.
You know, you know, those, so well, you have to tell me like how many teams it is and all that fun stuff. So, you know, to see how it kind of goes, but that's, you know, that's good. And at least it's baseball. So you have a better idea of, you know, what's going on.
But no, you're right. It was pretty comical that year when we were really reaching out to a lot of the guests we had. And he's like, I have the advantage.
If you miss out on the podcast, just go over to TV.com and hey, you can just do it all you want.